Good to see each one of you. Glad that you're here. Invite you to turn your Bible to 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. As we take a look here at teachers, deacons, pastors, preachers and pastors, the ministers of our Lord. Brother Paul's writing to Brother Timothy here and in this second epistle. We take a look at the first epistle, and there's something that's different about this one. It seems that our brother is in Rome, in bonds, and that he has it's fallen out of vogue to be a partner or be associated with Brother Paul. And Brother Timothy is shedding some tears regarding Paul, and it seems his imprisonment. He desires to see him, but he looks to write to encourage him. And he writes there in chapter 1, verse number 8, we saw last time, "Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner." And we considered about how it was with the Lord Jesus, that from the standard of the world and the measuring stick of the world, the Lord Jesus in his life just wasn't too successful of a fella. The Lord said he had not a place to lay his head at 30-some years old. And he was cared for by his disciples and about those there in the land, different ones that he, as he would travel in that, the Lord provided for him in that. But the thing is he yielded himself and his life to the salvation of his people. A greater work than any man could work or any men have worked on this earth. And so that testimony of our Christ, of our Lord, is one of suffering, one of sacrifice, and one of focus upon the will of God Almighty. He says here, "Don't be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner." And of course, we can look at that in a couple ways. The apostle, by virtue of salvation and being the child of God, we want to be bound by the Lord. Amen. In that sense, we're thankful and glad, as it tells us in the scriptures, to be apprehended by our Lord. He said, we can also, and we believe that this is so, that he's a prisoner of Rome. Having appealed to Caesar, he's there at Rome and going through that process of his case being taken before Caesar and that appeal being made. He said, "Don't be ashamed, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. Yea, those that will live godly shall suffer persecution. And it's by much tribulation we do enter into the kingdom of God." And so we need to know that and be assured of that. And in that, go to our Lord for the strength and the help, the peace, the rest that we need to be obedient to our Lord in every way. Well, a great blessing that you and I have in this country. Great freedom, great prosperity and provision. May we use that for the sake of our Lord, by his power. So be a partaker of those afflictions. The sentence continues here in verse number 9, "who has saved us," that's that redemption, that atonement being applied, the Lord Jesus, as we looked at this morning and know that he came and lived, suffered, bled, and died, was buried, and rose again from the grave. It's by that that he saved sinners. "Who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling," calling unto salvation, you and I that are in the church. He's called us into his church and service there, that commission that is there amongst his churches that the Lord gave, "not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, his favor upon us, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began." Yes, even before time, even before we read in Genesis chapter 1, verse number 1, the Lord, in his infinite and his wisdom and his ability and just who he is and what he's doing, he purposed to save a people from eternity past. He elected a people, chose a people to save. Because the thing is, what needs to be understood in that is it was necessary for that to be done because sin, wickedness, and depravity of men is so, so bad. When the Lord said, and I understand that with this morning's message, we mentioned about Brother Adam, and before he was saved, the Lord told him, said, "Don't eat of that tree, or in the day you eat of it, thou shalt surely die." He did die, even though he didn't drop dead physically. He and his woman didn't drop dead physically. They did die spiritually. And dead is dead. Who has ever known of us? Have you ever known of anyone that was dead that was able to be brought to life once they were dead? And I'm talking about dead. And I understand about people having heart attacks or strokes and their heart stopping and all that, and they're revived. But I'm talking about dead in the mortuary, in the coffin that's ever been brought back to life. Well, that's the way it is with us naturally. We are dead. And it's only by the power of God, the purpose of God, that sinners are saved. He says, He saved us. And the thing is that working of God in eternity past and His purpose and plan there is manifested in this day by those that believe. That's how the elect and the children of God are known, is because they are saved. They do believe. They do repent. They hear and they answer that holy calling of God. He shines the light, and indeed they see. And that's the working and the operation of God, as we see in the Scriptures. He said, according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, no greater calling than that. We mentioned last night at the cottage prayer meeting how it is that men of this world, and the way it is in this world system, they're achieving and they're pursuing. The great athletes of the world want to work and want to be a part of the great team of whatever athletic thing that they pursue. They want to be with the best, don't they? They're waiting for that call to be a part of that. They're waiting for that call. You hear that? There are those who are affluent and working in business, high finance, and the great operations and building works of the world. And just all different kinds of facets of life. All different facets of life, and they want to work for the top drawer company. They want to work for the maximum achiever of the great work. You know, a bridge builder that wants to excel in bridge building wants to work for one of the biggest, best bridge builders in the world. They're waiting for that call. Well, the call that we have is from our Lord, the Creator. The Creator of the universe and us, the giver of life, the one that's able to create an eternal soul. And He's called us with a holy, holy and righteous calling. There's none greater. All other callings will pass. They will, if you will, fail. They will burn up, but not the calling of the Lord. It's eternal. Who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, not our righteousness, thank God. Isn't it wonderful to know and to understand that it's not by our righteousness that we save and keep ourselves, but it's by the righteousness of Christ. I tell you what, by having the righteousness of Christ, we are secure, solid. With having the righteousness of Christ, we are made just as if we've never sinned before God. We can be justified. You know, justification is indeed a test of one's righteousness. If you got your own righteousness, you don't have justification. But if you have the righteousness of Christ imputed and applied to you, I tell you what, you're justified today, right now. Who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Verse number 10, but is now made manifest. It's manifested now. The Lord worked in these things, and it was known to Him, and He's brought them to pass. But now it's shown. What is it with the truckers? We've got a couple truckers, former truckers. Well, maybe they're still truckers. Maybe driving a truck's kind of like riding a bike. You just don't ever get it out of your blood, right? What's the manifest? In regards to Brother Derek, the manifest showed what was in the box, right, brother? All right, that's what it did. The manifest shows the contents. It reveals the contents. Brother Cecil hauled vehicles. He had manifests and bills, as they called them, that showed what kind of make and model that it was and where it went. I tell you what, the manifest, it tells what's in the freight box. This working of the Lord is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ. It all got cracked open then. You know, and here we're on this side of the Lord Jesus Christ coming and fulfilling His gospel and raising from the dead. You know, the purpose and work and plan of God is revealed. oh, yeah, there's some things there down at the end that we know about some and we've been given some glimpses into. But I tell you, if you will, the big deal's been manifest. Amen. Salvation by our Lord, the redemption and salvation of the Lord's people and sinners. It's been shown. It's been opened up. The mystery, if you will, in a sense, is not a mystery anymore. The gospel, and it goes out in its clarity and plainness that sinners are dead in trespasses and sins, and they need a Savior, and Jesus Christ, our Lord, is the one. But it's now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ. I love this term. I tell you what, the Lord opened this up to me and showed this. You know, you read a thing for years, you just don't see it, and then the Lord takes you and kind of thumps you on the head and makes you see it with abolished death. Now, let's talk about the abolishment of things. There's been things that men have abolished in the world. Things that used to be that are abolished that are no more. I was thinking about in regards to abolishment and like medicine, you know, they would say that in our country, at least there was a time, that polio had been abolished. They're seeking to do so. Polio was terrible. We know some that have been affected by that and have lived with that all of their lives. But then to live in a day where you don't have to fear polio, you know, from the human standpoint, of course, in this condition and the way of the world, polio still exists in other parts of the world. But in our land, they sought to abolish polio and to go. And there's even some commercials. Maybe you've heard some of those commercials about folks that lived in that day and suffered those things and saw the things that they did regarding the effects of polio, other diseases. And to think to live in a day, you don't have to worry about it anymore. You take the vaccine, from the standpoint of this example, tell you're given the vaccine, you don't have to worry about getting polio anymore. You don't have to worry about passing on polio anymore. For our Lord, by what He has done, hath abolished death. You know, that's a big statement in it. In the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And death was introduced to mankind. Why? Sin against God. Sin always brings death. Sin equals death. Always know that. Sin always, we mentioned to you here recently about how it is that sin never does in the truth. Sin never conquers the truth. But you know what? In our lives, as we live on and time ticks off here, sin can rob the ability and the opportunity to obey the truth in that moment. And that moment is gone. Sin does that. Sin does destroy opportunity. Sin does make it to where the time was not redeemed wisely. Amen? And as the Scripture tells us. And the abolishment of death. Wow, what a statement. See, Jesus Christ, our Lord Jesus Christ, He came, and what He did is He willingly entered into death. What's it say there in the Gospels, in those New Testament Scriptures, in the Gospels there? He gave up the ghost. He said before that to His disciples, "No man taketh my life from me." Brother Jim, they nailed Him to the cross. Yeah, He let them. Brother Jim, they took Him and put that cross, that pole in that hole, and he was held up between heaven and earth, as the Scripture says. He let them. Oh, they wanted to, but He let them. And you know what? He suffered there and suffered there. No telling how much. There's just no understanding or comprehension on our part what the Lord Jesus Christ suffered from Gethsemane. What our Lord Jesus Christ suffered from the 40 days in the wilderness fasting. See, Jesus is divine and impeccable. Not even the thought or the trace or inkling or speck or spot of sin or disobedience against God. But understand, our Lord Jesus did not have a super body. And, you know, and think about that. He didn't get a super body to be able to do those things that He did. And I wonder about that. I'm not looking to make an issue about it, but I wonder about that. If you and I went to fast for 40 days, we know Brother Elijah went on the strength of the food that was provided by him provided by the Lord to him. He went on that for many, many days. But did our Lord and his body suffer damage? All those things that Isaiah writes about, all the things that the Lord bears. Of course, he did a multitude of healing in the day of his ministry, didn't he? Now, he doesn't understand this. We empathize. We try to stretch to understand what Jesus has done for us and what he bore. But you know what? He always sympathizes with us. He's been in the shoes, if you will. He has gone through it. He knows what it is to be tempted and to suffer from everything that there is. Nah, that can't be. I tell you what, the Scripture says it is. And you know what? He willingly entered into death. When it was finished, when the Scriptures, so that the Scriptures might be fulfilled, he saith, I thirst. He's even paying attention to every whit of the Scripture. And he yielded up the ghost. He gave up the ghost. He allowed his soul, his spirit, to depart from his body, and he died. He entered into death. You know what? You and I are terrified of death. Well, I mean, we are. Death, it's in us naturally to live. And that's the Lord's design. And we don't want to go near death. But Jesus willingly went into death. And I like to think of it this way. He got down there in the middle of death and blew it up. Because you know what? 3 days and three nights later, he took his life back again. That phrase, this is a wonderful study. Get out your concordance or get an electronic concordance. You can get one on your phone or whatever. And take a look when the Lord Jesus says, after I am risen. After I am risen. When I am risen. You know, we just can't talk like that. I mean, we can talk that way in regards to what Christ is going to do for us. Because we will rise. You know what I'm saying? Not of our own ability, not of our own power, but the Lord was speaking about his own power. After I am risen. I mean, if I told you that, I'm going to die tonight and I'll see you Wednesday. It's craziness for us to even think about that. But the Lord Jesus, he said it and he did it. You know what? He went right into death and defeated death for his people. I tell you what, praise God, that's the kind of Savior I have and the kind of Savior I want. Amen? I mean, what else is there? What else is there beyond that of dealing with death for this human life and existence? Name something greater. I mean, if you can handle death, I think you can handle everything else. And that's what Jesus has done. Who hath abolished death. Oh, man. What a wondrous, wondrous thing. Listen. And hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Let's take a look and just take a little bit of time here and follow this thought of him abolishing death. Take a look over here at Acts chapter 2. The apostles are there and the Lord Jesus has appeared to them and been with them for a span of 40 days or so, right there between his resurrection and the day of Pentecost. And we come here to Acts chapter 2, verse number 24, and the brethren are preaching here on the day of Pentecost. We're not going to read all of this, and there's some long sentences here, but we're going to jump here in the middle of it. Let's take a look. Verse 22. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. It didn't surprise the Lord a bit. It had been prophesied, as the Scriptures say. It was prophesied by the Lord Jesus Christ himself. He said he came to do that work. Ye have taken, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. They are guilty. We are guilty. Verse 24, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. I tell you what better one person to go and deal with death than the one who is all life. The Lord Jesus, God the Son, became a man so he could die. And because he's God, he was able to take and deal with death, even the death of his own body. It was not possible he could be held down. And think about that, not to be morbid or anything, but you know, our Lord Jesus Christ's body did not decay. And the rigor mortis did not set in. Because see, all those are functions of sin. It wasn't the case with him. And somehow the Lord took, and that's a message for another time, he took the blood and applied it to the mercy seat in heaven. It's just, what a wondrous Savior that we have. He said, has loosed the pains of death. He's done that for us. We don't have to fear death. You know, preached some message, I think messages probably a year or two ago, that the Lord, and what the Lord has done, it's aligned with the thought we had this morning. Everything that comes about that seems to be contrary to the Lord can just move and work and take it and be glorified beyond in it. Death that you and I are afraid of and want no part to do with naturally, turns out, you know what it is for us? Death is the release to go on to be with our Lord. What was it the Apostle Paul said? He said, I'm in strait between two. He said, to be here with you is more needful. But I tell you what, he said, I want to go on and be with the Lord. Because that's the release. That's the going on and getting sin and hindrance behind us. Isn't that something? The very thing that we fear is the release. To go on to be with our Lord. And to go ahead and experience completely that eternalness that we have in our Lord promised unto us. Isn't that something? How our Lord has done that? He whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holding of it. He couldn't be held down. It was 3 days and three nights to show that he was dead. To show that he was dead. That was the time that God had determined that was appropriate to show that the Lord Jesus Christ had died. He couldn't be held down. And you know what? As the Scripture tells us, he died once and is alive forevermore. Jesus says that about himself in the book of the Revelation. In Amos chapter 5, let's take a look over here. That's Daniel Amos, right? Joel Amos. Mislead you. All right. In Amos chapter 5, do you know this verse? I tell you what, this is good. Amos chapter 5, verse number 8. Seek him. Seek him that maketh the seven stars and Orion, and turneth the shadow of death into the morning. Isn't that something? I mean, yea, though I walk, Psalm 23, right? Brother David writing, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. And there's a thought there that death throws that shadow. But I tell you what, for the children of God, we are only touched by that once in the flesh. No second death for us. I tell you what, the condemned, the damned, the rejectors of Christ and his gospel and the Lord and the Father's Savior, tell you what, they've got the second death to experience. The shadow of death overcomes and overwhelms them. Actually, it's at the power of the Lord Jesus Christ to minister out the second death unto those. He says, the Scripture says in verse number 6, seek ye the Lord and ye shall live. Verse number 8, seek him that maketh the seven stars and Orion, the Creator, that turneth the shadow of death into the morning. A dawn. What is it about morning? We're alive. The sun's come up. There's life. There's a future. There's a blessing in the day. And maketh the day dark with night, that calleth the waters of the sea, for the waters of the sea, and poureth them out upon the face of the earth. The Lord is his name. Take a look over here in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the resurrection chapter, starts off with a summary of the gospel and then tells here about the resurrection. There's those there at Corinth that doubt about how could it be that the Lord can make a way that a man could live with forever. And the apostle goes through some things. He says, well, he made this kind of flesh and that kind of flesh and that kind of flesh, these kind of bodies, that kind of bodies. Is there any trouble for the Lord to make it to where a man, a woman, can live forever? Have a real physical body? No problem at all. We read in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse number 26, the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. And our Lord Jesus did it. He did it. He did it. You and I yet may fear death from the standpoint of the unknown. We are subject to fear the unknown. That's the reason we need to keep our eyes on the Lord. And when we do fear, I'll tell you what, when you fear, pray. Go to the Lord with the fear. When you fear, when you're in doubt, when you're in a quandary, when you don't know what to do, pray. Go to the Lord with it. Lord, I'm afraid right now. You know it. You know why. You know what's bugging me. Lord, this is bugging me. Tell Him. Tell Him plain. Tell Him straight. He already knows, but I tell you what, tell Him. And Lord, help me to rest in You and trust in You in it. Lord, I know You're bigger than what I'm facing right now. Lord, I know that You are greater than this fear that I have. Lord, turn this. Help this. He has abolished death, and He's defeated that last enemy. Back in 2 Timothy chapter 1, he said, now in this time, the work of God and the purpose of God is made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought to life and brought life and immortality to light. What was it at Mars Hill when Paul preached in Athens there concerning the resurrection of the dead? I mean, there were some there that laughed. There's some there that just kind of blew it off. And then some said, you know what, we want to hear about that again. See, all the religion that they had, all that Greek and Roman mythology had made gods that were just as wicked and evil as they, and that were all dominators and users of men. And maybe in their thinking, by some fluke, you can become God. They thought they made Caesar a god, didn't they? And the Romans did. But then the rest are just, you're just really left out there. But look at our God. Look at the only true God. As we mentioned this morning, for God so loved. The Roman, the Greek and Roman gods of mythology, any so-called love mentioned about them is just salacious and wicked. But our Lord loves in life. You know, He tells the truth, which we don't want to hear, but that's what we need to hear. We need to hear the truth about how bad off and how sorry we are, how dead we are, how sinful we are, so far separated from Him. But then He says, look unto Me. I've got the answer for it. Who hath brought life and immortality to light. How? Through the gospel. Through the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Again, as He mentioned earlier in verse number 9, not according to our works. Not us. Not what we can do. We know the Scripture declares that the best that we've got, on the best day we ever have in our life, it's all filthy rags. We need something outside of ourselves. And that is our Lord Jesus Christ. Our Lord Jesus Christ. Life, it brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. He says in verse 11, whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles. Paul says, the Lord's called me to be a preacher of this gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ. one of those men that, there in that transition team. And aren't you glad for those last words? A messenger, a preacher, a declarer of this gospel to the Gentiles. I'll tell you what, we were far and estranged from the commonwealth of Israel, to whom all the oracle of God came. But by our great God and Savior and Lord's plan, He's made it and brought it to where it doesn't matter of what nationality, what ethnicity that a person is. The gospel is free and comes to them. Because we are the human race, and we are made of one blood, and we all have souls, and they all need a Savior. How about you? Where do you stand in regards to this? Do you have one that has abolished death for you? Maybe you know that He's abolished death for some that you love and that are near to you, but how about you? Do you know and believe that Jesus has abolished death for you? Our brother is called to be a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles of these things. Verse number 12, because of this, or for the which cause, I also suffer these things, being imprisoned. Being imprisoned. The apostle has been blessed to be brought to the understanding, you know, that to reach the ones that the Lord once reached, it might be rough on his skin. Might be rough on his bod. But you know what? There are those there, he writes in the book of Philippians to the church at Philippi there in Macedonia. You know what he writes as he closes out that book? He writes, if you will, a paraphrase of it. He says, the saints in Caesar's household say hello. He could have never reached them had it not been for the Lord taking him there, appealing to Caesar. He said, I'm suffering these things in the flesh, but it's the glorification of God. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed. He writes to the Romans in Romans chapter 1. He's not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. He's not ashamed of the calling of the Lord to be a preacher and one to testify of the gospel to sinners. For I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. We have a song that we sing taken from that verse. And how is it with you? How is it with you in that verse and what's stated there? Can you declare that for yourself and your soul like the Apostle Paul? Are you sure and solid and steadfast about what the Lord has promised you and saved you? Has the Lord saved you? Have you heard His call and repented and trusted in Him? Do you know that you are solid? No matter what happens, you're solid and steadfast and secure in Him. Now you can trust Him. That you know of a surety He abolished death for you. And that you are totally and completely resting in Him. Lord willing, next time we'll look at this verse and break it down some more and consider some things here. The Apostle Paul writing to Brother Timothy. You know, it's good for preachers. And it's good for saints too, isn't it? A lot of good, a lot of rich things in there indeed.